I'll be reading from Genesis 2. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh."
Your faces. Some of you, I think it's the first time you've been with us, but everybody is welcome and hope that you'll join us again. June the 2nd, which is rapidly coming, as we are already, the 12th day of May? Is that right today, the 12th day of May? Hard to believe that it's flying that quickly. But June the 2nd will be our Friends and Family Day. And so we'll have our assemblies here on the 2nd, and then we'll have dinner together. So we want to invite you to come back and be with us on the 2nd and bring family and friends with you on that Sunday morning. And we'll all be together and look forward to having you join us if at all possible. You're in the area, or just make a trip to be back with us, because we'll worship together and fellowship together and eat together. That's a hard combination to beat. So invite you to come back and be with us, or be back with us at any opportunity that you have. Happy Mother's Day. So, and Grandmother's Day and Wife's Day. Is there any, I always ask this, and I'm not sure this year, is there anybody here that's celebrating their first Mother's Day as a mother? What about as a grandmother? It's your first Mother's Day. Who's that? Nobody? Okay. Anybody that's the first year to be a great-grandmother? All right, so most years we have somebody. Next year, Lord wills, we're going to have a grandmother who will celebrate her first Mother's Day as a grandmother. And so, yeah, two of you, so all right. So an exciting year is coming. It's fantastic. But again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. I was riding around yesterday. And speaking of riding around yesterday, congratulations to our graduates. So we had two that graduated yesterday, Hunter Satterfield and Sheridan Mathis. And Jacob is going to graduate, I think, Wednesday of this week. But congratulations to our three high school graduates. And that's a wonderful thing. We kind of honored them on Wednesday night, but want to announce them today. So I was going to graduation parties yesterday, which was excellent. I started off at breakfast yesterday morning and then came up here for lunch yesterday afternoon. Then went to Ben and Katie's for supper last night. Ben had ribs and shoulder and chicken and sausage that he had smoked. That was hard to beat. And then I was in the parking lot this morning, and Brian Carmouche gave me some hog jaw this morning. So it's been a great weekend. But I was riding around yesterday and went by a cemetery. And it doesn't matter which one it was, although I just can't remember which cemetery I was going by yesterday. And there was an older gentleman walking across the cemetery with flowers in his hand. And my guess, I don't know, my guess is he was probably visiting a wife's grave. It might have been his mother's grave, but a family member's grave, my assumption, and it's Mother's Day, so he was walking across the cemetery with flowers to decorate that grave, and that was a nice thing, and he didn't seem overly distraught. I mean, he was just there to I know, remember and show respect. But it reminded me that for those of us who still have our mothers and our grandmothers and our spouses, that we need to be sure to say Happy Mother's Day and be appreciative and affectionate today and every day. And for those of us who have lost parents or grandparents or spouses, it's certainly a time to remember and the good memories and the times that are shared. But it's really important for all of us to not take for granted the opportunity to say I love you and I appreciate you and just do something special. So Happy Mother's Day to all of you and for all of our families to remember that and to take the opportunities that we have to share and, again, to show appreciation and show affection while we have the chance, because we never know when we don't have the chance, right? And so it's important that we do that. And, you know, it's really important as well. And the Scripture will tell us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, right? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Whatever issues we have, it's important that we deal with them today while we have the opportunity, that we work out whatever we need to work out, whether it be with family or friends or total strangers, that we work out whatever those issues are as much as we can and to make things right. So not only do we sleep well, but so that we have no regrets. That's about the best we can do, isn't it? Have no regrets. Say the things that need to be said and do the things that need to be done to the best of our ability. So hope that all of you enjoy today. I know a lot of the visitors are here today because of the Mother's Day, and glad that many of you came to be with your family and join us, and we have some who have left. But I think that's, if we didn't talk about anything else today, I think that's important. But I want to go back to the garden and talk about the creation, because it's important. Because Jesus will lay the events of Genesis 2 out in the New Testament. He will make reference back to Genesis 2 when the question comes up about family, about marriage. And he just says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Haven't you read? Don't you understand that in the beginning, this is how God designed it and created it, and this is God's intent. And the Apostle Paul will do the same thing in his letters. He'll refer back to creation and things that sometimes we'll say, well, Paul is just speaking from a cultural standpoint. But Paul makes it clear he's not speaking from a cultural standpoint, that he's talking about design. So let's go back and talk about this design and why Mother's Day is so important, and why this relationship between husbands and wives and mothers and children and grandchildren is so important. Because what do we find? That God creates the creation, and it's just interesting as we go through that at one point there's no trees, there's no shrubs, because it's not rained on the earth. And so God causes streams to come up and to water the earth. I kind of get the terrarium thing. I don't know how big are terrariums today. Is that a big deal? I remember when I was younger, it was a big craze to have a terrarium. We had a terrarium in the classroom. We had a terrarium at home, you know, and you had to put very little water in them because the water kind of came up. When it would get warm, the sides would get moist. Do you remember that? It was kind of one of those fads. And most of us put our pet rocks in our terrarium. It was a really good combination in those days. For those of you who are real young, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, a pet rock. That was before we could all afford dogs and cats. We had pet rocks. They were easier to clean up after. The pet rock was great. David had a pet rock for a while between dogs, didn't you, David? David's perked up. Most of us got over that, but you may not realize, but the pet rock was great. It did a lot of things for you. If you set the pet rock outside and you looked and the pet rock was wet, it was raining. I mean, it could just tell you all kind of things like that were important that you just don't get every day now. But we had terrariums, and I just pictured that's a lot like what the earth was as God began to create it, this terrarium effect. But God creates man as the crowning achievement of creation. And we've talked about this before, because the Scripture is very clear that man, while created last, was not the end point of an evolutionary process, but was the crowning achievement of a creative process. Because the scripture is very clear to say that man is different than the rest of creation. Why? Because we're created in the image of God Himself, right? God doesn't say that about any other thing in creation except for man, that we're created in the image of God. And He makes it very clear that when He refers to man, He's referring to man, to male and female, that men and women are created in the image of God. But Adam is created first. From the dust of the ground, God creates Adam. But God understands, God realizes that man needs help. I thought I'd get an amen from the women, but y'all don't amen, do you? But you were thinking it. You were thinking it. Kathy, you're grinning awful big over there this morning. See, Eddie, I wasn't going to call your name out, but man needed help. That's what God says. There's no doubt that man needs assistance. Man needs help. Man by himself, the male, in the creative process, is not going to function the way God intended for us to function. That's what he says. Man needs help. Not that just that he needs assistance, but he needs something that completes him, right? Because one, man can't reproduce. God could have probably dealt with that, but that was the way God designed us, is man wasn't able to reproduce. That men and women have different characteristics emotionally. We can try to deny that, but it's just true, right? Men and women are different. It's hard to deny that. I mean, all of us are different from each other, but there are some generalities. We're just different. There are talents that we have physically, emotionally, spiritually, that men and women are different. And God, when He created man, said, I've created man. It's a good thing. I created him. But it's not as it needs to be. Man by himself is not what he needs to be, what he can be, what his potential is, what I want him to be. And so, in an interesting discussion, an interesting thought, Moses reveals by the help of the Spirit, because Genesis is written way after the events of creation. Y'all understand that? That's written by Moses years and years and years and years. This is after flood. I mean, we're talking about thousands of years after the event, okay, that Moses is writing to us about what happens at creation. So God brings all the animals to Adam, and he names them, which I think was very difficult. I mean, for a while, it would be pretty easy on the first few. But after a while, I mean, sometimes we have trouble naming our kids. We got 3 or 4 or 5 kids. We have trouble making up our minds, right? So Adam names all the animals. Whatever he names them, that was their name. But God brought all of these animals to Adam, not because God was checking to see if there was a helper suitable for Adam. God knew there wasn't. But he wanted Adam to see in the whole creation, there's nothing in this creation that is a suitable mate, helper, companion for you. All right? Dog might be your best friend, but it's not a suitable companion. It's not going to complete you. It's not going to be what I want and what I'm going to design. And so now God looks at the situation. God knows. And God says, all right, I am going to design a companion for Adam. And so Eve, the first woman, was specifically designed to complete Adam. All right? That was the design of the great designer. Now, let's talk about the great designer for a minute, because we often think about the magnificence of the creative power of God, which is fantastic, right? When John tells us that Jesus spoke the world into existence. Wow. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? Because, listen, if talking it into existence were today, I'd be a skyscraper builder. You just can't do that, right? But I tell you what's more magnificent than God spoke it into existence. is that God designed the system. I mean, that's amazing. I talk about it quite often because I'm fascinated by it. I'm talking about the subatomic particles that God designed to hold together all the way up. What about those things we haven't even been able to observe or yet? You know, there are things we've never seen in space and at the subatomic level that we've never been able to detect. All we can detect is the evidence that they exist. Y'all get that? We've never seen them. Not with our electron microscopes, not with the technology we have. All we know is the effect. And so we have hypothesized that these things exist because of the effect that they have. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think maybe we're right. I don't. It's above my pay grade. But what I'm saying is, God designed all of that. God designed all of that. And so, the God who designed everything to work so perfectly together, so interactive, from the subatomic level to the stars in the sky, be able to tell time and all of those things, to the systems of how different plants and animals work together. I mean, you know, we have real concern about pollination now because of what's happened to the bees, right? So, and it doesn't happen much here. But if you'll travel out west especially, you will see tractor trailers, flatbed tractor trailers, loaded down with beehives. I'm talking about a tractor trailer load of beehives that they're moving to some fields to pollinate whatever the crop is. And so that's a people's business, is to have these beehives that they transport for pollination. But God designed that system. And God then designed Adam and Eve to fit together, to the point that what's going to happen with Adam and Eve, and it's going to happen to husbands and wives from that point forward. What happens? You remember? The two become one. You caught that, man, right before it got there, didn't you, brother? You caught that. The two become one. Taking aside for a moment. Bill spent the night with Uncle Rob and Aunt Candy last night. So Bill comes to church with Uncle Rob this morning. So I walk in and Bill's sitting in the chair next to Uncle Rob. Bill said, "Uncle Tim, I'm sitting in your chair." I said, "Okay." It was kind of that, "I'm in your chair, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "Well, are you preaching this morning?" I said, "If you sit in Uncle Tim's chair, you got to preach." He said, "Uncle Tim, I get out of your chair." So he didn't want to preach this morning. So I told him it was all right. He could sit in my chair. The two become one. The design is such that the two seamlessly become one flesh. That's the creative design of God. That God looked through the whole creation and said, "There's nothing that makes this union. So I'm going to make something that when the two come together, they just fit together and they become one." And that the two together are actually the complete unit. Now, Paul makes it very clear that some of us will never marry. And there's that doesn't make us inferior. That's not wrong. In fact, in the troubles that Paul was going through, he said, that's really not a bad thing. That's really not a bad thing. Not that God designed something bad, but when we come together as husbands and wives, what should a husband be worried about? What should a husband be concerned about? He's certainly concerned about the ways of God, but part of that's also being concerned about what else? His wife, right? That's right. That's why Paul says that in these troubled times, it's liberating not to have to worry and be concerned and provide for somebody else. Plus, you can then be dedicated to God. But he doesn't call us all to that. He says some of us can do that, and that's a good thing. But that God's design are for men and women to be together. How many Shakers do y'all know? I'm not talking about, you know. Remember the group, the Shakers? It was a Shaker community in Kentucky. Kind of popular for a while. But how many of you have met a Shaker or know many Shakers? You don't, because guess what? One of one of the tenets of their practice was no marriage, no procreation. That's why you don't know many Shakers. That lasted about a generation. Boom, Shakers were gone. So that's not God. God has called us to be fruitful and to multiply, and that's part of the diet. But it's not just a biological connection, because that exists in the animal kingdom. But it's a spiritual, emotional, physical connection that God has designed. And the reason I want to talk about that is God designed the universe and the way it works together. If God designs a system of family and unity, everybody think that's a pretty good design? This is one I really don't want you just to sit there. Ponder that a minute. But this is a, or not, for those of you who are visiting, we're pretty sophisticated, Milton. This means yes. This means no. Is that a pretty good design? If the creator of the universe designed it, it's an excellent design. It's an outstanding design. And I got to tell you something. We'll never out-design it. Because the creator, all-knowing God, created the relationship. God created the relationship. And designed men and women to join in a union. To become one. To become one. They actually become one part. It's almost hard to imagine, isn't it? But the specialness of this relationship, of becoming one, not only in having children, but working together to become one in purpose, to help each other, to support each other, that men have responsibilities and love and a place in the home, and women have a place of responsibility and love in the home. And those two together, with their strengths, offset the other's weaknesses or deficiencies. Those are kind of hard terms. So God made, but he just made us different and realized that we needed each other, right? That we're better. I don't know a good illustration. Only thing I think of is potatoes are good and gravy's good, but potatoes and gravy's better, right? Potatoes and gravy's better. That God made us to be one. And so today, we honor our mothers and our wives, and that's the appropriate thing to do, and we ought to do it every day. But it is a special relationship designed by God for us to complete one another and to bring support to a family. And in that, our jobs are not only just procreation, that's what animals do, but it's also what? To instruct our children in the ways of God, right? Isn't that what the scripture tells us? That we have that responsibility as well. Not to frustrate our children, but to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of God. To know God. And to know God's ways. And to show love and strength and support and stability to our families. Now, let's make this very clear. The design was perfect. Perfect. So let me ask you a question. Is marriage always easy and perfect and without problems? Now, you were awful quick on that one. No. So is the preacher crazy? Well, that's a whole other issue. In discussing this issue, Shane, is the preacher crazy? Why is there trouble? We need to know this. Because it's a legitimate argument. If God made this perfect design, then why can it sometimes be difficult? It goes right back to Genesis. The perfect was in the second chapter. What happens in the third chapter? What happens in the third chapter of Genesis? You remember? Has to do with eating. Adam and Eve eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And what happens as a consequence of that? What? They're cast out of the garden and there is a curse, Cindy. There's a curse. And if you'll read the curse affects the relationship with Adam to the earth. It affects the earth. The earth is different after the curse. Adam and Eve, their relationship with the earth is different after the curse. And the relationship between Satan and Eve and Adam are different after the curse. And the relationship of Adam and Eve are different after the curse. Sin has made the perfect relationship more difficult than God intended it to be. And we need to understand, it's not that there's a design flaw, it is that our sinfulness has made it more difficult than God intended it to be. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but it takes work. And it can be a challenge. The relationship was perfect. And so, what does God intend for us to do? Through all of the Scripture, what's God's intention for us? To grow into being more like Him and being people of the kingdom, right? What happens in the kingdom? Jesus tells us in the model prayer what the kingdom is going to be like. Not from what it looks like, not from a design standpoint, but Jesus, in teaching the apostles to pray, He says, "Thy kingdom come." What's the rest of it? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That the kingdom is about where God's will is done. And so as kingdom people, what are we always striving to do? Be doing God's will on earth like God's will is going to be done in heaven. And that reflects in our relationships. That we're always working to be the kind of husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and children God called us to be, right? And even the relationship with children and siblings is different. The first family has a murder. As far as we know, there are four people in the world. And two of them can't get along. We all say today, man, the world is terrible. Ain't never been so terrible. 25% were murderers. And they killed family. It was part of the curse, but God calls us to be about kingdom living. And Jesus will tell us, what's the first commandment with a promise? You remember? What's the first commandment with a promise? Honor your father and mother. For this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and your days may be long upon the earth. Because the curse strained that relationship as well, right? So honoring our mothers, and I'm not talking about just in a day of just saying, I love you, happy Mother's Day. But honoring is about not only respect, but caring for our family. Being a part of family and the support and care that comes with that relationship. So, I've done a lot of it. But we need to read from the beginning and realize, here's what God intended. God makes this perfect relationship. That because of sin, has its struggles, but it's still the perfect design. There won't be a better one. And our role as people of the kingdom is to love our parents and to love our children, to love our husbands, and to love our wives. Right? With what comes with that, which is not just an emotion, but Paul tells us very, very specifically in the Scripture that love has certain attributes, right? It keeps no record of wrongs. Love wants what's good, right? Love trusts. Love supports. Love is a decision that we make. It is a commitment that we can make. And God has called us to that commitment to our families, because God designed the family, and it is the very foundation, the very structure. In fact, the Godhead itself is designed a family, isn't it? It is, because Jesus is what? He's God, but He's God the Son. He's God the Son. And our families are important. And so fighting for them and supporting them and being a part of them and doing our best in our family is what God calls us to do. In fact, the Scripture will say this, that a person who doesn't care for their family is worse than an unbeliever. It's worse than an unbeliever if we don't care for our families, because it's God's design. And all of us have made mistakes in that area. I don't think there's anybody here who can say I hadn't made a mistake in that area. Some may be larger than others, but all of us have made mistakes. And if you're married, those mistakes have probably been pointed out to you, right? But we've all made mistakes. So what do? Don't throw your hands up and give up. It is a recommitment. I'm going to ask all of us to recommit today that I am going to be more about being a person of the kingdom. Because I know this is God's design and it is right. And I'm not going to let sin and selfishness interfere. But I am going to be about loving my spouse and loving my children and loving my families and the commitment that comes with that. Jesus died on the cross because we're sinners. We sin in our relationships with God. We sin in our relationships with each other. And Jesus has come to bring redemption. But He calls us to repentance, to change, and to be about the business of the kingdom. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the curse of sin?
Six 687.